Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
The shining stars of women's athletics have once again dominated the Olympics this year. The gold medal smiles of gymnast Simone Biles, swimmers Katie Ledecky, and Simone Manuel have nearly overshadowed Michael Phelps and Usain Bolt's and all of the male records. One controversy in the Olympics regarding female athletic participation, which has only been allowed since the 1940s and you may not have heard about, involves the gray areas of gender that have been an issue in American politics as well. Our next guest is an activist who advised Olympian runner Dutee Chand, who in 2014 took the International Association of Athletics Federations to court and won when her gender was called into question over the question of a condition called hyperandrogenism. Dr. Payoshni Mitra says the cloud of gender testing still hangs over the Olympics.
Hyperandrogenism has a medical definition, but I work with real people. I work with athletes. So to me, it has, and especially these regulations, have had a very severe kind of impact on many athletes. And I'm more worried about that. I really don't think that this is a medical issue. I think it's an issue that concerns people and the harm that these kind of regulations have inflicted on some of these athletes. So for me, this is about an athlete's right to be able to compete, and everyone should be able to compete.
Is there a sport which you could imagine where there would be no gender designation at all, that men and women in any state would compete equally, and there just wouldn't be this separation or the need to make this designation, at least as a way of showing in the Olympics that there is a way of getting away from this segregation that is so frustrating in certain circumstances?
There are equestrian events where they have mixed events, but then we are not really talking about not having male and female categories in sport. We are talking about the ability of women with naturally high level of androgen to be able to compete as they are. And there is a difference.
What is the history of the Olympics trying to get a handle on this, or thinking it was a problem and coming up with tests to try to solve it?
Well, it's a long history, obviously. 1966, you know, 50 years that they have been dealing with this particular issue and have not been able to convincingly come up with any conclusion. And this was, even if you look at the CAS judgment in connection to Dutee Chand's case, where it is very clear that, you know, many of the scientists on both sides of the debate, especially on the side of the IAF, have agreed that this is not foolproof. You know, nobody can say for sure that this is the right way to go ahead. There's not even enough scientific evidence to conclude that the impact of natural elevated testosterone on women's performance was so much more substantial than the benefits caused by other factors such as nutrition, access to specialist training facilities and coaching, and other genetic and biological variations as well.
Why would a woman decide to have surgery to comply with IOC regulations?
I want to make it very clear that the case that we have, we were part of, Dutee Chand actually challenged the International Association for Athletics Federations, so the IAF, not the IOC. The IOC has often adopted what the IAF regulations were. So in London, they had a similar policy, but in Rio, they have not. So there is a lot of coercion. The moment you are saying that you can't play, can't compete with a certain level of androgen, and for that athlete, she's not taken drugs, that level of androgen is naturally produced in her body. When you ask that person to reduce that level of androgen, you're obviously sort of forcing her and telling her that if you want to compete in sport, you will have to change or take medical intervention in some way. And there is a level of caution, because this was not for health issues. So they were not asking these athletes to reduce their androgen level to address a particular health risk or something. This was only for sport participation that they were being asked to reduce their androgen levels. So there is an ethical problem there for sure. And we raised that at the court as well.
What do you think the future is here? And do you think the lessons learned from Dutee Chand and other athletes will create a situation that is less onerous for women competing, will eliminate the kind of scrutiny that you've been so focused on and opposed to?
I hope so, but I have been interacting with athletes all over India, and I did notice that they even... many of them have heard of Dutee Chand and her appeal, and they're aware of how much fight Dutee had to fight in order to get that right to compete. However, you know, there is a lack of information related to whether athletes are still being scrutinized. Coaches don't know. Even medical staff in various parts of the country informed me that they are not aware of how to deal with this issue now. So I believe even if we have a regulation and then that regulation gets suspended, the information needs to be, you know, taken to all these people who are implementing these regulations, who were implementing those regulations. They need to know what they should do. But I doubt if these kind of initiatives are being taken by the medical commissions who are working on these regulations. So I think it's important to educate athletes as well as people who are implementing them so that there is less scrutiny. You know, we need to sort of have an open mind to look at these issues.
Dr. Payoshi Mitra is an athlete's right activist and a sports researcher. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much.